Welcome back, guys, to the Outlawed Roundup coming at you this week. February 26, 2025. I mean, only 2 days left in February. So this week we got NWO 2.0. I don't know if it's even 2.0. It might be like 0.8. I feel like it's more of a digression.
That's a good point. Yeah. It hasn't even really made it there yet. I mean, they keep trying, but it might be 2.0 attempts or something like that, or like.
And Black Magic Mirror, which I assume must have something to do with cell phones, right?
Yeah, it was going to be Black Mirror Magic. Like, I didn't know whether to put the Black Magic together or the Black Mirror together, because it was kind of a reference to Black Mirror and Black Magic. So
I never watched the Black Mirror
stuff. Oh, it should have been Black Mirror Black Magic is what it should have been, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I could have put Black in there twice. But yeah, some of those episodes were great, man. You should go back. And if you and Sean are like looking for something to watch the odd time, yeah, go back and watch a couple of those.
Isn't it pretty dark?
Some of it, but it's not like horror dark, you know?
Yeah, that other dark is almost worse, man. Like, I forget what that show on Amazon was, but I watched like a few episodes and some dude first the kids like switched fucking souls with each other. So one kid's the other kid now, and then they didn't want to change. The one kid didn't want to change back. So, but he tried to force him to change back and ended up like switching locations with a fucking post or something. And so now he's just this shitty robot. But
wow, anyway, what?
I remember watching it. It was unsettling. I was like, man, I am done with this shit. And I'm not watching another episode of this. I don't watch TV to feel like this, however I feel right now.
Yeah, exactly. Some people love the horror stuff. I don't know. I just don't get it. I'm not really the horror guy.
So your boy Carney is I really can't express enough how much of a dud this guy is. Every time I like expect him to just like be less of a dud, he continues to just be more dudly. He's like, he's the ultimate dud. It's really, but they're still like, they're forced to try and prop him up. I mean, his own party is supposed to be debating him, and they're busy trying to prop this doofus up on stage because he's saying ridiculous things. But I mean, he'll probably still win. It looks like.
Well, there's some pretty big lies in there too. I mean, it really isn't.
Yeah, he's like crazy lies he's getting caught on.
It's a coronation, like Ruby Dalla says.
I mean, he's getting caught on some crazy lies. I mean, it really is. It's something to behold. They're saying the election on the 9th. The birthday's the 10th. I hope they call it on the 10th.
On March 9th, there's an election?
And Trudeau officially resigns on the 9th.
And there's a liberal, like, election or selection, or how does it work?
Like, so then whoever takes over, Trudeau resigns, whoever takes over, and then the rumor is, or the whatever you call the buzz at the water cooler is that everyone in Ottawa is prepping for an election to be called day one or day two. They're expecting the election to be the last week of April.
Yeah, that's kind of what I predicted. They want the polls to be as close as possible so they can just squeak their way through, whether it's through lying or cheating or whatever. But I mean, I feel like Carney's been assisting Trudeau the whole time and just telling him the lie about stuff. I mean, I feel like they just don't care. They just lie. Like these politicians, they keep lying and people just believe them. It's just gross.
I think Carney's going to get camelot. I mean, it's really too bad that Pierre is such a dork. It's like,
they want Carney in. I don't agree with you on that at all.
A spine that they want Carney in, sure. But I mean, they wanted Kamala in too. Maybe they wanted Trump in. Kind of seemed like it at the end.
I don't know about the states is a weird one. I can't figure that out. I can't even begin to suss that one out the way that all of a sudden Biden failed in the primaries. If they couldn't see that happening, like it was very weird how they all turned on him right away and then put her in. Like, what were they thinking?
It's messed up, dude. All right.
It's almost like it was incompetence, but I don't know.
I don't see why everyone. The level of incompetence that I encounter in my day-to-day life is so staggering that it would almost be more of an anomaly if it wasn't infecting all levels. You know, like you see Carney up there, it's like, you can't even just lie better. you can, like, you honestly just like get caught lying. This, you let the Frenchman trick you like that easily. But you're like, did you see that? Where buddy's like, so you were the vice chair, and he's like, no, I was chair. He's like, then why'd you do this? And he's like, ah, shit. And he just lies.
Did the guy know? Did the questioner ask him that on purpose?
Not. He like stumbled into it. But well, you heard what he did in French, right?
About supporting Hamas, or yeah, I saw that.
He's gonna get forced to say some ridiculous things when he has to debate Pierre in French, because he's gonna have to
debate Pierre.
They have to debate in French. Yeah, they have to debate it at least once, probably twice.
The liberals have to do an election, or do they just select them? Like, how does
they
that,
select them? But then there's an election.
Okay. So, like the main election.
So he'll get to be prime minister regardless. You know, it just might only be for a week. And then we'll have an election. And then maybe he'll get voted in and they'll win. And then he'll be the prime minister again, or maybe he won't. But either way, one of these scumbags is going to get to be prime minister for a day. I mean, it might as well be Freeland. We have this like track record in Canada of just like letting women be in charge for like a week. And. Going back to the white dudes. All right. Speaking of the women,
the U.S.
So, I mean, I couldn't even. This is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. I like tuned some in at moments, and I was just like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Time the U.S. rather than guaranteeing, for the first time since the Second World War, rather than guaranteeing the rules-based order, the U.S. is turning predator. And so what Canada needs to do is work closely.
Turning predator.
Rules-based, you mean like the rules, like crime and like
no.
Two-tier crime and the rules. Like, I love how they just twist what a rules-based order is. Like for right. You.
We got to try and be better not to talk over each other.
I know.
But it's, I mean, on this one, she's just basically saying that they won't protect us anymore. When we're only paying them like a third of what we said we would.
With our democratic allies, our military allies. I've been foreign minister. I know how to do that. That's why I would start with our Nordic partners, specifically Denmark, which is also being threatened, and our European NATO allies. I would be sure that France and Britain were there, who possess nuclear weapons. And I would be working urgently with those partners to build a closer security relationship that guarantees our security in a time when the United States can be a threat. And I would also, crucially, reach out to our Asian democratic partners, Japan, South Korea, Australia. They need to be part of the conversation too. We need to be ready for a world where the U.S. is not the leader of the free world anymore. Canada can be and must be a leader in building this new order. Our allies are looking to us. And if we do this, we'll make ourselves safer as well.
What do you think? I mean, it's like, dude, if I was a conspiracy theorist, it almost seems what the whole, I mean.
It could be a war on our border. I mean, it could be a war from that world order that she's talking about. This is what I've been saying. And then the states is unraveling the deep state right now. They really, whether it's all for show or not, I don't know yet, but it sure seems like they've started out like with a barrage right off the bat. And of course they're not going to let it go. Right. This whole EU thing. And with the UK and Canada and Australia, they're not going to let this go. They're going to fight till they're going to put us, like, I don't want to start getting all weird.
Maybe more in common with Hitler than he thinks.
We need a maple card. You know how they have the green card down there. We need a maple card.
What about the gold card?
Well, that's too expensive. I can't afford the gold card. It's like $5 million.
We should do a GoFundMe to get Grab America into America. We need $10 million.
You know what? I was gonna say in the post, like, didn't Canada have something like that going on in BC or Vancouver? Like, if you were a rich Chinese person, you could get into Canada. I think it was $1 million or $800,000 or $1 million. It was a cheaper gold card. It was like a Canadian dollar. Canadian gold.
I have a green card, so we only need your money.
So we need to raise $5 million.
We need to raise $5 million to get Grimerica into America. And then we do a USA roundup for you guys. All right, let's go over to Table Salt, who, you know, no comments. He has some good comments sometimes, content sometimes. So Mark Carney loves Canada so much that the board he chaired at Brookfield Asset Management unanimously voted, so him too, to move the company to the USA 20 days before he resigned to run for PM. That's probably the last thing he did as a board member here of
Team Canada.
So, oh God, I knew that was going to happen. Knew it. All right, here we go. Oh, what did I do now?
Wow, you got some Zoom problems going on there.
There we go. That's better. So details of the meeting. The meeting held on Monday, January 27th at 10 a.m. Eastern, a virtual meeting. So the board of directors with Mr. Bruce Flatt, who serves as the CEO of both BAM and Brookfield Corporation, nominating the compensating committee of the board, unanimously determined that the arrangement is in its best interests of Brookfield Asset Management and unanimously approved the arrangement, according to the board. So, I mean, how many people did Brookfield employ, do you think?
Oh, dude, it's huge. I mean, we've done a few segments on it. Do you have that there? Or?
I don't have it there, but I could get it quickly.
I mean, I think it's thousands. I mean, I don't know. There's so many subdivisions and all that. I don't really know, like, which, like, it would take a while to figure out which one moved to the States, you know, if it was the whole
head office,
headquarters, head. So, I mean, if it's all those Brookfields, I mean, Naya Fanner still has a lot on that recently. But I mean, I've got a timeline here while you're looking for that. I've got a timeline here that I was going to share with you. This is just, and I don't know how accurate does this fit in with yours. Like, so this is Jason Laetari saying October 31st, Brookfield announces Canada exit. So this is at the end of last fall, or November 5th, Trump elected. November 25th, Trump threatens tariffs. Carney writes to shareholders, explains New York City move. That's on December 1st. December 20th, shareholder vote. January 16th, Carney resigns. February 25th, Carney lies and pretends he didn't move the headquarters out of Quebec. And this is coming from Pierre, too, which is interesting. So he is, you know, Pierre is saying, like, Carney said he had nothing to do with Brookfield moving their headquarters out of Canada to Trump's hometown of New York City. Documents show he chaired the board meeting that unanimously determined the move. I think he's showing the same letter that you probably showed earlier.
Yes. It's
taking jobs away from Canadians. His name is on the letter urging shareholders to approve the move. Why did Carney lie about his decision to sell out Canadian jobs?
Because he's a liar. I mean,
we know Carney still intends to achieve net zero. We know he's planning on hiding carbon tax in our industries. Yes, it's funny. I was gonna look, like, buy his book and come up with some quotes from his book, because it's probably pretty gross. It's pretty disgusting, the choices we have as Canadians for the upcoming elections. On one hand, we have Carney, who had close association with Epstein. On the other hand, we have you with your close association with the WEF. That's a good point.
And the Jews.
This is a good one. How the Bank of Canada and Mark Carbon Tax Carney print money and stick you with the bill. Ever wonder how the Bank of Canada, big banks, and hedge funds make billions risk-free while you get stuck with the bill? Anyways, there you go. So did you get that?
I did. Now let's jump up with this one. This is that clip you're talking about. So, I mean, it's just interesting because it's, well, I guess, what is CP? The CP is, what's CP24? Isn't that, let me see something.
We are entering the ninth inning of the snap.
Toronto's breaking news. Breaking news from Toronto and the GTA. Okay, let's try this again.
The candidates running to replace Justin Trudeau will go head-to-head tonight in the...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why didn't the last one echo?
I don't know. It's weird, eh?
Maybe that was the first one. Was that the first one? That was the first one.
Yeah.
place, Justin Trudeau will go head-to-head tonight in the English language debate after last night's French debate. CTV's Colton Prale joins us live from Ottawa with more. Thank you so much, Colton, for being here with us. Good morning to you. So what did the candidates reveal about themselves last night?
Yeah, Arta, the big question going into this was, is Mark Carney able to debate in French? Can he hold his own? And he stumbled last night in one of the most prolific ways possible. If you could write up a mistake as bad as it could possibly be, it's likely what happened last night when Mark Carney was trying to say on stage that all four candidates are in agreement in their position with regards to Hamas.
If I said that, I get kicked off YouTube. Just saying. Said
what that
what Mark Carney said.
Yeah.
He ended up saying he agrees with Hamas and then called for a two-state solution. Now, Chrystia Freeland very quickly jumped in to clarify that the Liberal candidates do not support Hamas, and Mark Carney later corrected himself immediately after, first in French and then later in a Q&A in English. And he had previously made his position clear on the issue in English, and it was clear that he did not support Hamas. But the Conservatives have jumped all over this air, first on social media last night. They're holding a press conference right now on Parliament Hill, and the message they're putting out is very clear, that Mark Carney is unable to express himself in both official languages to a degree that would be required of the Prime Minister. And that's the attack that they're coming at with, or that they're coming at him with this morning. And for Liberals who were wondering how Carney might fare in a debate against Pierre Poilievre in French, should he get to that stage against Yves-François Blanchet in French, it's a very worrying sign, especially because he won't have friendly politicians by his side to correct his mistakes. His French was by far the worst on stage last night. It is much inferior to Pierre Poilievre's French, and it certainly doesn't reach the levels of fluent native bilingualism that Yves-François Blanchet has. And so if this is what it's about for Mark Carney in Quebec, if it comes down...
Do you ever just feel disgusted that it's so much about bilingualism?
Really? Dude, that's what I was going to say. Like, for the record, I don't think you should have to. I mean, this is the problem with the country, you know, which I don't want to get into here too much, but I don't think you should have to speak French. They should have their French shit over there if they want it. Just fuck off with the Prime Minister. We're just like cutting the talent pool down to people who gives a fuck.
Especially when they wanted to leave. I mean, the province wanted to leave.
Yeah, it's time to go. We should let them go. Just
go back to one language. Let them go. Let the West go. Like, split it up already.
Yeah, it's time to probably let them move on. You know, it's too much. It's too much. I don't think that he should have to speak French, but, you know, the fact that he thinks he can, you can tell he's just one of those guys that thinks he can do anything, but he's just, you know, not very good at anything except like being greasy. Greasing your way up through some jobs by brown nose. And he looks like a pretty good brown noser.
Down to his command and control of the language, it was very worrying for him that he couldn't compete with the other Anglophones on stage in his second language.
They're the winner of the debate?
There wasn't a real clear runaway.
Everybody loses.
I heard it wasn't even a debate. They were just like agreeing with each other.
No, it wasn't. It was just like a circle jerk. It was kind of like a, you know, if you picture like a circle jerk. Well, you played hockey, so you've probably been to one. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to go to next? I mean, I got.
Well, where's the NWO? What was? I thought that was the NWO thing.
That was the NWO thing.
Okay.
The what's her name? What's her name? Talked about the, yeah, she kind of skits over, but she talks about having to make a new world order.
Oh, Freeland, yeah, with joining forces with all those countries.
With all the losers that, you know, the America protects. It's like, NATO's not as good without America. I mean, I'm not crazy about it either, but it just like, it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to have a hockey game, but then the one kid like owns the nets and the goalie equipment and all the pucks and a few of the sticks. And then you tell him you can't play anymore.
Yeah.
But then you still try to have a hockey tournament. I didn't realize that that big gay hockey tournament they just had was just in place of the All-Star game.
Oh, is that what it was? Why would they do that? That seems like
a big thing. It seems
Who was it? I don't even know who's in it. Canada, U.S., Finland, and Sweden or something?
I believe they've set up to run Western Hemisphere money.
Is Russia in there?
No, they're not letting Russia in right now. No.
Well, I mean, I've got something about Trudeau sending more stuff to Ukraine if you want to.
$5 billion?
I got a couple military clips here. Let's just play those. Cause just in regards to your, you know, what's happening. I thought
the war was over.
Why I am announcing Canada will be providing 25 more LAV-3 infantry fighting vehicles to Ukraine. We will be delivering 2 armored combat support vehicles, which Ukrainian forces will be trained on shortly in Germany.
Two armored, like, is that really going to make a difference?
What is it?
And they have to send training? What?
You have to get trained on that?
For 2 vehicles. I mean, honestly.
Landing systems for F-16.
Do you ever drive an 18-wheeler, bud?
And 4 F-16 flight simulators will be provided in the coming months.
If the Sikhs can come over here and just drive them all over the place and take over the trucking industry, I'm pretty sure that the Ukrainians can fucking handle it.
Millions of additional rounds of ammunition, components.
That we took from our citizens. I guess they're not getting the guns that they took from everybody or what?
I don't know. The rumor I heard today was that Canada only has enough ammunition in the military to hold off an invasion for 3 days.
It is weird that they're making this, like, making an effort to pronounce that they're giving all this support to them. When, I mean, Trump's trying to end things, and it is weird that everybody's just keeps pushing harder for war. Like, what the fuck is going on? It's really disappointing that Trump is, and I'm not defending him and all that, but you could make an argument that he's trying to do some good things here and everybody's just flipping out and just going against him for the sake of going against him. Like, it's just gross that's what it took to bring Team Canada together is Trump. I mean, for fuck's sake. Hey,
some people make the argument, I'm not going to be one of them today, but some people make the argument that that's what happened in World War II. So, just saying. Yeah.
So I guess this is an older clip, but I mean, this is, I guess we have to increase our military, right?
It's that our focus is transformation and mobilization are the 2 key words that I use to describe the approach that we have at the moment. Of course, modernization means more than just changing how we recruit, but it also means changing who we recruit.
With support from the Vice Chief of Defense Staff and government partners.
So did you catch that? Modernization of the military services.
In the military. What is happening?
Dude, this changes not how they recruit, but who they recruit. Did you catch that?
Well, there shouldn't be women in places of power, for one, in the military. That's problem number one.
Doesn't we are challenging.
What? Is that like sexist?
Yeah, it's totally misogynist, dude. I mean, we're going to get hate mail for that. Darren, I like the show, but
is that Darren's so crazy to say? It's crazy to say that women don't belong in the military. That's crazy. I'm crazy. Okay. Sorry. That's
outdated policies and practices. Line, buddy.
Hey, lady,
you're like, oh, give me infantry that you have to
drag him off the field. Go grab that injured, go grab my injured comrade and drag him off the field. Oh, you can't. Oh, you're on your period. Oh, that's a shame.
You simplify security process for applicants with ties to other countries. Therefore,
so let me just back that up. They're going to simplify the process of applicants with ties to other countries. I mean, is that where that's where we're at now? Is that because of Trump? Like, really? Like, why don't you just accept their support and let's just surrender, let go, or be dragged, please?
Security process for applicants with ties to.
I can't hear you. What?
We shouldn't let transgenders or women in the military unless they're being nurses.
Other countries. Therefore, most applicants, included permanent resident, can begin basic training after receiving their reliability status clearance. Just recently, we have enrolled our 455th permanent resident. So great success. To build on how we recruit and ensuring that we don't unnecessarily screen good candidates out, we are modernizing our medical standard by reviewing our military common medical standards and aligning them with our new universality.
Just so people understand, by permanent resident, that means people not born in Canada now in the armed forces.
So are they fast tracking permanent residency for people that want to be in the military? Is that what they're doing?
Probably.
And they're opening up the medical stuff. So
of service policy. This will give us more flexibility to recognize that people with low risk medical condition may still serve fully in the Canadian Armed Forces. Right now, 26.4% of newly enrolled Canadian Armed Forces members identify as racialized Canadians. 18% are women, and 5.2% identify as Indigenous. To succeed, we must continue to tap on all Canadians from all communities who want to serve.
Candidates without high-risk foreign implications now complete an initial reliability status check before enrollment. That is to say, they are now enrolled under the same process as Canadian citizens who do not possess high-risk foreign implications. We've analyzed our processes and realized that the Canadian Forces Aptitude Test was not in line with industry best practices.
Oh, no. The aptitude test is changing.
And served as a barrier to enrollment.
Oh, there we go.
Instead, we've introduced a Scored Employment Application Form, or SEAF, which evaluates essential qualities of personal and organizational success, including academic results, qualifications, work experience, extracurricular activities, or other life achievements.
So with they can just pencil in anybody now, right? If they're not passing the aptitude tests. Oh, you have experience playing hockey. Okay, that sounds good. We'll put you in.
An enrollment medical standard. We are adding a third group, fit to the task, which means that.
Can you imagine what that means? Does that mean that you can just get obese like what 70% of the military is right now?
That's like does this include the women?
While the applicant has medical employment limitations, for example, requires daily access to medications, those limitations do not represent a medical contraindication to attend basic training. The applicant must also meet universality of service requirements and medical standards for their desired military occupation. All medical conditions are being considered.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess Big Pharma's got his claws in there now that it's really affecting. There's so many people on medications that's affecting the people entering the force too. Or honestly, I mean, really, you probably couldn't get in if you're on antidepressants or.
These people are barely cut out to like work at Canadian Tire, man. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to run the military right now. I'd just be like, everyone's whining and complaining, and I need this weekend off. Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to jump in with our buddy, Scooper Cooper, Sam Cooper. I would like to have on the show, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon, but that's okay. I get it. We get a little carried away over here sometimes. We get a little carried away.
If there was a real commission to get the bottom
of Mother Frigger. Fuck. All right, I think. Figure it out, StreamYard. For the money you're charging, figure it out. Shouldn't be a tricky.
Yeah, they just like tripled their fee or doubled their fucking fee with us too.
If there was a real commission to get to the bottom of fentanyl and money laundering, it even came up in the Hogue Commission, again, in the most minimized, you know, basically whitewashed way. They talked about the RCMP for some reason not pursuing a money laundering case involving Chinese actors that were believed to be involved in Chinese state activities. And the excuse given by the RCMP, it came out in testimony, even though they didn't get to the bottom of anything, you know, in the commission, the excuse was, well, the RCMP said, well, there's so many money laundering operations. They didn't see value in going after this one. Sorry, WTF, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to get to the bottom of a money laundering investigation when you know that Chinese triads are the targets of U.S. government and enforcement intelligence that believes they've set up to run Western Hemisphere money laundering in Toronto and Vancouver. In the RCMP, you don't want to pursue a case that you admit could be connected to Chinese state activity.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just completely consistent with my more recent story that said there's some people in Canadian and U.S. government posts that believe that there's people up high in Canada's government that don't want certain cases pursued. And so, yeah, could it come back to people close to Justin Trudeau that could be involved in fundraising, could be involved in illegal casinos that the Markham York Regional Police have said are important for the funding of drug activity? Yeah, I do think so. And I do think the U.S. government knows a lot more than I do.
What do you think about that?
It makes sense. It's like another one that people don't talk about, right? It's like we're a risk. We're a risk to the states.
Maybe, you
know, and I believe that. What?
Maybe a bigger one than I think. I mean, I'd lost the clip, but there was that CSIS guy that came out last year that was talking about how every government since Brian Mulroney's has been infiltrated at some level by the Chinese Communist Party. And they've all been warned, and they all ignored it.
So you're talking about the Northern Perspectives played that, and they went to find that clip because it was from CBC, and CBC has taken it down off their website. You cannot find that old clip. So one of their listeners or watchers sent them the actual clip of this guy, saying that
forget his name.
Yeah. Actually, I can find it if you want to. I can find it here. It'll be on my it'll probably be in my YouTube history. I think I watched it today, actually.
Yeah, it's probably worth pulling up if you can get to it quickly.
But I don't know. It's a pretty long clip, so I don't know, like, you know, where the timestamp would be on it. But
you know what? It's in now that you mention it, it's in my YouTube history too. If it didn't get deleted.
Yeah, I got it here.
Because what I had was, I think, unless
hang on.
Future. Eventually.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Maybe. But the process, the parliamentary process, is so slow and so partisan to a certain extent, it drags and drags and drags the issues, which have been revealed quite clearly by many, many testimonies. Now, she was talking about over 100 testimonies that came in front of her during the Hague Commission. But if we return to the parliamentary committees, it's over 300 experts that went in front of various parliamentary committees. So that's a lot of people who sing from the same music sheet and say, we're having a serious problem in Canada. The problem and the consequences also is the image that we project to our allies and the loss of trust in from our own population into our institutions, despite the fact that she mentioned that our institution remains robust, that the system is strong, has not been affected. And I would agree that probably the election have not been sort of turned on their head because of the foreign interference. But the fact of the matter that we're capable to have people that are gaining access to the higher sphere of the decision making in Canada, you don't need an army to be capable to do so. You don't need to have half of the House of Commons. You need to have the right people at the right position to be capable to influence, just like we saw the interference coming from Global Affairs in the process of sharing intelligence coming from CSIS and the tug of war that exists within the government, within the organization. And
Global Affairs, you mentioned there too, coming from the Global Affairs, right? I mean, that's that 179-page slush fund thing. So this is Michael Juno Katsuya, former CSIS Asia Pacific Division chief. Foreign interference will never be completely eradicated, warns.
I got a better one.
Inquiry commissioner. Yeah, that was just where I had left off, basically.
Let's listen to this one.
Service, an analyst for the U.S. National Security Agency, has confirmed American agency. Thank you so much for taking time. We know this story keeps evolving. How serious is China's political interference from your perspective in Canadian politics?
This is a year old for context.
It became extremely serious. It became extremely dangerous also for our democracy, for our system. I was the chief of Asia Pacific for CSIS in the mid-90s when we were corresponding with our
U.S. counterpart. And we were exchanging data, we were exchanging worries about what was going on. When we published our report, it was totally cited, and nobody wanted to pay attention to what we were saying. At that period of time, we could have been capable to probably mitigate the threat that China was starting to engage against us. Today, it has evolved to the size that now the revelation of the Globe and Mail tells us. And this whistleblower is doing us a service to reveal what all government, every party, every government has ignored for decades now. So it's not only this current government that is at fault. All previous governments were also ignoring what we were saying.
So, Michelle, as you said, you've been raising these flags of interference for years. Why do you think it has taken so long for all of this to come out publicly?
I think there is two reasons. One of the reasons is that it was an element of partisanry. There was an element that could be useful to the government in power or the people who wanted to get in power or stay in power. And they saw useful to simply keep a certain statu quo. The other element is definitely we have evidence that we have been infiltrated by agents of influence, people working on behalf of the Chinese intelligence service, not necessarily spy, but people who have been recruited and being capable to influence the power at bay. So this has been going on for the last 40 years, including from Mr. Mulroney all the way to Mr. Trudeau today. Every prime minister has been compromised at one point or another by those agents of influence.
Every prime minister, you say, has been compromised by those agents.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
but fuck the USA.
Yeah, I know. It's just, dude, I'm telling you, it's just, I almost don't even want to follow any of the stuff. Sometimes I just get so. And meanwhile, this is that foreign affairs. We talked about Global Affairs Canada, right? So out of the 179 pages of slush funds, did you see this one? Canada had a federal office of religious freedom that monitored Christian atrocities around the world. Actually sounds like it might be like a legit one. Trudeau dismantled it almost immediately in March 2016. We instead have an Islamophobia office. Trudeau is no friend of the Christians. The Office of Religious Freedom was an agency of global affairs that was established by the government of Canada February 2013, monitoring religious persecution, and it was shut down in March 2016. Candace called for the reestablishment of it in 2021. That to help address issues like forced conversion of minority girls in Pakistan.
Nice one. All right. Well, what should we jump to next? Okay, we got to do this. Let's jump over to New Brunswick. Have you heard about? Okay, click that. Have you heard about Irving Paper shutting down?
No.
Okay, can you see it? I don't want you to see it. Okay, don't read it. Don't close your eyes. Close your eyes. Why do you think they're shutting down? Or why do you think they're shutting down 50% of their operations?
Why? Irving Paper? What do they do? They make paper? Or?
They make paper.
Because they're moving to the States?
But if they are, why?
Because taxes, maybe?
Close. Let's take a listen.
The mill employs 310 people and supports over 300 suppliers in New Brunswick, with roughly 400,000 tons of paper being exported to 65 countries.
I buy that Royal paper.
For your butt?
I do. I make sure that I buy the Canadian-made stuff. I've been doing that for years. All of a sudden, now it's a cool thing to do.
CEO says this closure is eye-opening.
But it really forces the issues that we need to address immediately, such as economic competitiveness. You know, our power rates are 22% higher than the national average, making it harder for businesses to grow and sustain.
In a statement, the mill's vice president, Mark Mosher, says it was difficult for them to stay competitive in an international market with such high energy costs. He also says they are working with provincial government, but they couldn't maintain full operation of both paper machines. He adds they will be working with the province over the next couple of weeks to develop a plan that allows for the continued operation of the rest of the mill before the 10% electricity rate hike on April 1st. A spokesperson from J.D. Irving declined an interview but says this shutdown is not related to tariffs. Merrifield says the employees who were laid off will need community support.
This is a time where we need to come together as a community and be supportive of those who are affected.
NB Power says their rates are...
Be supportive? Like how? Like give her money or...
No, just emotional.
Or just like, you know, pat on the back, change her avatar on Facebook, you know?
Based on the cost providing electricity to residential and industrial customers, and are working to reduce the rate pressure on customers. The province's natural resources minister says in a statement his department has been working with Irving to develop a durable solution for New Brunswickers, and they will continue to work with them, saying high power rates shouldn't be the reason people lose their jobs. A St. John counselor says her heart goes out for the people who lost their jobs.
Hopefully these other businesses will be able to take advantage of this very unfortunate situation and recruit some of their staff.
Jake Webb, Global News, St. John.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks. I mean, it's this is affecting all the businesses, right? I mean, imagine the current just department tax on top of it. Did you see that guy's gasoline bill, one of the truckers? Did you see that bill? It was like 700 in taxes and carbon tax and 400 in fuel or something like that. Like when you get a bill that's that big, like over $1,000, it really makes it, puts it into perspective of how much extra is getting siphoned off by the government. And then it goes to all these useless things. I mean, if we were all prosperous and yeah, we wanted to help out some foreign countries, okay, maybe, but this
I don't want to help any. Whoa, we're not helping any foreign countries. Reel it back. So, okay.
Oh, but I don't think people realize how expensive toilet paper and paper towels are in Canada. Like $20 for, you know, 8 rolls or whatever, right?
It's 25 or 29 if you get the big Costco one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the first female premier in charge right now, Susan Holt, the first premier. She's a liberal, so leader of the New Brunswick Liberal Association. Okay.
Okay.
So that's, you know, coincidence maybe. I don't know. How do you think New Brunswick gets its electricity?
From Maine?
No, I thought we were sending power down that way.
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I mean,
Brunswick generates electricity through a mix of energy sources, including nuclear, hydroelectric, fossil fuels, and renewable. So,
sounds like a good mix.
It sounds like they've got 35 to 40% of their power coming from nuclear and another 25% coming from hydroelectric and 10% coming from wind. So, I mean, they're like 75% renewable energy. What's the problem? I mean, it should be cheap and plentiful.
Well, it's not renewable. I mean, come on, dude. You can't just change the definitions in the middle of it all.
Nuclear.
It's not clean unless it's wind or solar.
Nuclear.
No, they don't say it's not. It's not in the clean category right now. Even hydro's not clean, really.
I don't care.
It depends on when you're talking about it.
I think nuclear is kind of expensive because it costs so much to build the place that it takes forever to like even out. I don't know. Either way, yeah, I was just checking. So it's like nuclear, I'd say, is green. The hydroelectric is green. So fossil fuels account for 30% of electricity production. So they can't figure it out. So they're paying carbon tax on that part of their energy.
So is that the place where the plant was? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a good mix. I mean, how come it's so expensive there? Where's the nuclear from, though? Can't be Canadian.
That's their own thing, yeah. Yeah, it says there's a nuclear plant in Point La Pro, New Brunswick's only nuclear plant.
So, I mean, to me, it sounds like they should have really cheap energy if I was to kind of compare other provinces that are stuck with one or two types, you know?
We're just like all natural gas.
Yeah.
88%. Yeah. New Brunswick has one. Ontario has the largest nuclear hub with 8 reactors. Then they have another nuclear generating station in Clarington with 4 reactors, one in Pickering, Ontario with 6 reactors. New Brunswick has the one we just talked about. Quebec has 2 nuclear generating station with 1 reactor that was shut down in 2012. And that's it.
So why wouldn't we build more of those then? If it sounds like they've been using them quite successfully over, they've been running for a while. Why don't they make more of those? Well, then?
Mecklen's shut down and the one in Pickering is scheduled for closure this year or next.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. The one in Ontario, in Tiverton, Ontario, is the largest nuclear plant in the world. I mean, did you? So we should be bragging about that.
I know. I know.
I mean, that's the coolest thing I've heard about Canada in a while. I'm checking. I'm studying. Anyway, fun facts. What do you want to do next? I mean, I got, we should probably finish with that. I got some stuff from Stephen Tonwasi about the healthcare system.
Okay, well, let's save that for mine. I've got some healthcare stuff from the States, so we can kind of combine all that. So why don't I do my Black Magic, Black Mirror segment?
Yeah, okay, and then I have a long clip on Russia-Ukraine.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know if you heard about this, but I did get this in, I did get this on my emails through G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know, one of my favorite things. He's usually lists like five or six news articles that we need to know about. And Apple has confirmed that iPhones are changing the word racist to Trump in voice-to-text feature. Did you?
You did that. I seen you do that.
I did it, and it is true. Brandon
Powell did it, too. Yeah.
Yep. I saw Brandon's, too. Apple's iPhone voice-to-text feature is sparking controversy after a viral TikTok video shows a user speaking the word racist, which at first showed up as Trump, before switching back to racist. Apple claims that the speech recognition models that power dictation may temporarily display words with some phonetic overlap before landing on the correct word. This is not the first time technology has sparked controversy over what it was perceived as a slight against Trump. A video went viral in September showing the Amazon Alexa virtual assistant explaining reasons for voting for then VP Harris while refusing to provide similar responses for Trump. I mean, it just does show you, right, how it's all rigged. That's what makes me think this is not like, would they go to this much problem rigging it all if it was a true, like, if they wanted Trump to win, you know how you were just saying that earlier. But Apple did actually say, an Apple spokesperson said it's addressing the issue. Oh yeah. Oh my God, dude. It says that to me. The voice to text feature also wrote words like Reinhold and you. The new Fox News Digital was able to replicate the issue multiple times. The voice to text dictation feature was observed briefly flashing Trump. I want to just look for Apple's actual, like, they actually had a quote about it. Prior, I had it written, I had it segmented out here. Now I can't find it. Apple says the bug effect. This is, yeah, I don't know. They just kind of said they were just it was kind of just a lame thing there, just working on it, you know. But let me show you mine, because I'll show you the video of mine doing it if you want proof that I did it myself. It's the one I sent you there. I wonder if I saved it or if I should go into my email. Just give me a sec here. So I was trying to figure out what that other word was, because there was another word that popped up. I couldn't, it took me a few times to actually figure out what it said. Now I can't find it.
You lost your video?
No, there it is. Okay. I had it, you know what? It's probably open and I didn't even realize. Okay, so here I'll present this. Okay, can you see it there?
Yeah. That's me. How come there's a P?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen this already.
Reinhold, and tell me Reinhold again, and now watch you, and then it says you. So I'm typing racist, and it says you racist. It says Trump racist, you racist. Yeah. So
it's, I was wondering on my side, because it just kept saying racist, racist.
Oh, right. You didn't even see that. Racist. Oh, no, no. I sent you the screen recording though. Yeah, yeah.
After, but first it just said racist, 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 racist.
I mean, what do you think? Is that somebody programming it in at the, or is it just?
Yeah, no, that's definitely some blowjob at Apple.
Yeah.
Someone got fired over that, I'm sure.
That's magic, man. That's black magic. Honestly, they're sublimes. You know, it's all these subliminal things that are just affecting everybody, man. There's the TDS is off the hook right now.
The TDS.
And the EDS, too.
What's EDS? Erectile dysfunction?
Elon.
Oh, yeah. Well, Elon's a fucking autistic douchebag. He's an douchebag. A douche stick. I mean, the thing of him with the chainsaw, I wanted to make the meme, but somebody beat me to it of him with the chainsaw just needed to be rendered with Camacho from President Camacho from Idiocracy with the shooting off the assault rifle. I mean, I just instantly came to my head and I was like, I got to make this meme. And then I seen it. So then I didn't bother. Anyway, our buddy Stephen Panswani, is Canada's healthcare system failing? What Panwazi? What did I say?
Panswani.
Close. Failing due to socialism or capitalism? Neither. The math is pretty clear. It's straight up greed facilitated by crummy people. First off, everyone forgets it's hard to be a doctor. Most people can't finish a book. A doctor in Canada is the result of a 13-year-old who decides they'll top their class and do 12 years of post-secondary training to start their career. The folks in charge didn't need that training. Ontario elected a high school dropout that's about to be re-elected. Canada elected as a high school teacher. My point isn't to make fun of politicians. It's to emphasize this is a very exceptional person that becomes a doctor. Ford, folks like Ford frame it as simple as we need more medical school spots. Just lower the standards and increase the spots. Only 7% of applicants make it into medical school. Makes sense? But med schools aren't hard to get into because doctors don't want competition. They're hard to prevent scarce training resources from going to someone who doesn't really, really want it. Canada's medical school graduation rate is only about 75%, 75%, 3 out of 4. So adding spots doesn't ensure more doctors. We don't pay them enough. That's true. Doctors in Canada don't get paid enough. They actually make less than they did 20 years ago when inflation adjusted.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Part of the reason Canada doesn't have more family docs is most need to work for corporate clinics because the overhead is ridiculous.
However, hang on. Sorry. Go back. Most need to because I don't understand that one. Part of the reason Canada doesn't have more family docs is most need to work for corporate clinics because the overhead is ridiculous.
Like a health center or something like that. Just being a family doctor, because now you have to have all this software, and I'm sure there's a bunch of insurances and all this stuff you have to have, plus then pay for. I mean, we did a couple shows earlier, early on about the doctor problem in Canada and how they were going to be affected by the capital gains thing. And however, most docs don't do it because it's lucrative. Spend 12 years becoming an MP. And you make the same without debt. If you want to work that hard to get rich, optimize for a job at JSC and make more in your first year without a degree. More money is good, but it won't fix the problem. What's wrong with my mouse? That said, Canada skewed initiatives to the point it broke society. In order to prop up its real estate bubble, it spent enormous taxpayer resources at the expense of actual productivity. A bubble creates something called a misallocation of human and financial capital. Misallocation of human capital. I know doctors in Toronto and Vancouver who are real estate agents because it presented an easier family path during burnout. Misallocation of financial capital. I know doctors in real estate development because Canada gives incentives for real estate speculation, but hit their practice with higher capital gains. The biggest skewed incentive in Canada was immigration. In order to drum up more real estate demand, Canada's Fed and provinces built something called EduCan. Its goal was to drum up more international students via targeted campaign in countries like India. All of Canada saw this, but Ontario is a different animal. Ontario went further by deregulating colleges so they could open in every strip mall, some run by immigration consultants. It was such a bubble, they priced businesses out of Toronto office space. What does this have to do with the doctors? Canada produces about 3,000 doctors a year. From 2019 to 2024, it produced 18,000 doctors, but added 3.64 million people, primarily via study permits. 2018 added one doctor for every 150 people. 2024 added one doctor for every 460 people.
Three times worse. Wow.
Keep in mind, some of these doctors are replacing retiring doctors. It's not just a net positive. Canada scaled up immigration to an absurd level in 6 years, about the time it takes half to train half of a single doctor. These same scummy politicians are now promising an equally scummy fix. We'll train more doctors. Great idea. At minimum, that takes 12 years if you can add the capacity to train them and you start like right now. Keep in mind, incredibly busy doctors have a hard time making time to train on top of their normal absurd schedule. Getting them to completion is hard too. Privatize, do the math there. If there are five doctors and we privatize, how many doctors are there? Still five. We just compete for them like an auction. So really, we have five doctors, but your spouse needs to ask the bank when you have an emergency to see how many you have. Recognize foreign credentials. Sure, but it's a myth. Foreign doctors are driving cabs in Canada. It's a problem, but it isn't a scale problem, especially now. We don't have tons of doctors who worked a decade, moved to Canada, then decided equivalency training was a barrier. We get them from overseas. The best and brightest aren't waiting to move here to live a worse standard than the person with a high school diploma. Besides, there's no doctor store where you pick up a case of Dr. Patel's. If it was about money, they would be bankers, not doctors. Canada had a very awesome value proposition just a few years ago. You worked hard and you were rewarded with a life that was stable, boring, and nice. Now you need to be in the 1% to get the same lifestyle the previous generation got working retail. How did it get so bad so fast? We elected predators, and most folks are too proud to admit it. They doubled down. Most people would be outraged if a burglar out on bail robbed their home. However, they'll re-elect the same criminal that robbed them to maintain their pride. The other guy would rob me twice as much. Anyway, that was longer than you thought.
No, that was great. I mean, that was fantastic. What was I going to say about that? You know what it made me think of is that any kind of adjustment like that, like this immigration surge from 2022 to 2025 or 2021 or whatever it was, post-COVID, or like, and it's happening all over. Like, they should know, this is what bugs me about it, right? They should know that any kind of surge like that is not functional. It's not on balance with all the system infrastructure we have, right? You can't just throw an extra 5 or 10% at stuff. Like, maybe 0.5% or 1%, oh, you can absorb and you can shift and all that kind of stuff. But these are major changes that cause huge disruptions. You can't just, like, switch gears like that, you know? Like, I mean, this is why Trump's layoffs and this whole collapse of the NGO spider web is going to cause, it's a bubble breaking too. I mean, there's a bunch of bubbles breaking.
Pop, 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 pop. I think the AI bubble is going to burst too. I think
the AI bubble, the housing bubble, the grift bubble. I mean, thousands and thousands of people will be out of work that weren't adding value to society. Like, it's like a value added bubble that's going to break too.
Well, you know, bubble's not going to break our bubble. So, you know, sign up, grandamericaoutloud.ca, or send us a donation, grandamerica.ca/support. Anyway, I got two more clips. I got one from Banff, and I got another one that's longer. We can kind of stop it whenever, but it is like 6 minutes, and I will probably end up playing the whole thing. I'm guessing you want to keep it going.
Okay, I'll just save mine for next week then, or Sunday.
Sunday.
And it's probably better because it's big pharma stuff anyways. So, you know, that'll be on our page.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start with this one then.
Got to share it.
I will. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You rush me, Dunlap. All right. I think it sounded like it was going to be loud. Where did I turn it down?
Is that on X? The volume control on X sucks.
What are you doing, you moron? No. You see the dog attacking the deer?
Yeah.
Lady, you're gonna get kicked in the face, man.
Is the dog still holding the deer's antler?
Yeah, it's still holding it. The lady's chasing it.
Uh oh.
It's got it by the ear.
The dog has it by the ear?
Yeah. I mean, that dog is pretty.
The dog's the aggressive. Anyone calling?
Anyway, yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
How much do you think Marty up north wants to find that person?
To find what person? The person with the dog?
Yeah.
$500?
More.
$1,000?
Much more.
I don't know. Find her for what? Like having her dog off the leash or?
$50,000.
For what?
$25,000 for having her dog off the leash and $25,000 for disturbing the wildlife. It's like, that seems a bit much, but, you know. All right. So I'll jump over to this other clip then. You want to play this one? This one is, I think you'll appreciate it. I mean, it's stuff a bunch of us all really know, but I think it's worth playing here so that people can maybe play it for other people. You know, I forget this guy's name. It says it early on, though, but he's not nobody.
This is not an attack by Putin on Ukraine in the way that
Jeffrey
we are
Sachs. Told.
Jeffrey Sachs.
This started in 1990.
It's echoing too.
February 9th. 19, not that very much.
We need an assistant.
It does seem like StreamYard, right? I mean, I don't think it's anything you're doing, is it?
Well, there's a switch that sometimes you need to toggle and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I know, but you shouldn't have to toggle it when it's already on.
You shouldn't have to toggle it. It should just be toggled.
Already toggled.
This is not an attack by Putin on Ukraine in the way that we are told every day. This started in 1990, February 9th, 1990. James Baker III, our Secretary of State, said to Mikhail Gorbachev, NATO will not move one inch eastward if you agree to German unification, basically ending World War II. And Gorbachev said, that's very important. Yes, NATO doesn't move, and we agreed to German unification. The U.S. then cheated on this, already starting in 1994, when Clinton signed off on a plan to expand NATO all the way to Ukraine. This is when the so-called neocons took power. And Clinton was the first agent of this. And the expansion of NATO started in 1999 with Poland, Hungary, and Czech Republic. At that point, Russia didn't much care. There was no border other than with the Königsberg. But other than that, there was no direct threat. Then the U.S. Led the bombing of Serbia in 1999. That was bad, by the way. Because that was a use of NATO to bomb a European capital, Belgrade, 78 straight days to break the country apart. The Russians didn't like that very much. But Putin became president. They swallowed it. They complained. But even Putin started out pro-European, pro-American, actually. He asked, maybe we should join NATO. When there was still the idea of some kind of mutually respectful relationship. Then 9/11 came, then came Afghanistan, and the Russians said, yeah, we'll support you. We understand to root out terror. But then came two other decisive actions. In 2002, the United States unilaterally walked out of the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. This was probably the most decisive event never discussed in this context. But what it did was trigger the U.S. putting in missile systems in Eastern Europe that Russia views as a dire, direct threat. In 2004-05, we engaged in a soft regime change operation in Ukraine. But in 2009, Yanukovych won the election and he became president in 2010 on the basis of neutrality for Ukraine. That calmed things down because the U.S. was pushing NATO, but the people of Ukraine on the opinion polls didn't even want to be in NATO. They knew that the country is divided between ethnic Ukrainian, ethnic Russian. What do we want with this? We want to stay away from your problems. So in February 22nd, 2014, the United States participated actively in the overthrow of Yanukovych, a typical U.S. regime change operation. Have no doubt about it. And the Russians did us a favor. They intercepted a really ugly call between Victoria Nuland, my colleague.
That's the fuck the EU, right? Muted. You're muted.
That was the one where she was talking about they installed they're talking about Yanukovych and they put in that other guy. And so that this is our guy and that whole talk. Fuck the EU might have been a different clip. I don't know if it's from the same clip, but I think it was around that time.
At Columbia University now, between her and the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Piat, who's a senior State Department official till today.
And this is also when Joe Biden threatened to withhold the $1 billion of U.S. aid money.
No, that's later. That's much later
on. It's later, but it's on the same sort of timeline.
I think Biden's was
he's during vice president. No, he's vice president. So right now he's at the end of his vice presidency because Trump.
And they talked about regime change. They said, who's going to be the next government? All of this is to say the U.S. then said, okay, now NATO's really going to enlarge. And Putin kept saying, stop. You promised no NATO enlargement. It's been, by the way, I forgot to mention, in 2004, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, seven more countries in the not one inch eastward. And then, okay, it's a long story, but the U.S. kept rejecting the basic idea, don't expand NATO to Russia's border in a context where we're putting in goddamn missile systems after breaking a treaty. 2019, we walked out of the Intermediate Nuclear Force Treaty. On December 15, 2021, Putin put on the table a draft Russia-U.S. security agreement. You can find it online. The basis of it is no NATO enlargement. I called the White House that next week after that, begging them, take the negotiations.
When did that happen again?
Avoid this war. Oh, Jeff, there's not going to be a war.
2019. So this is Trump now.
Announced that NATO's not going to enlarge. Oh, don't worry. NATO's not going to enlarge. I said, oh, you're going to have a war over something that's not going to happen? Why don't you announce them? And he said, no, no, our policy is an open door. This is Jake Sullivan. Our policy is an open door policy. Open door for NATO enlargement. That is under the category of bullshit, by the way. You don't have your right to put your military bases anywhere you want and expect peace in this world. They turned down the negotiations. Then the special military operation started. And 5 days later, Zelensky says, okay, neutrality. And then the United States and Britain said, no way.
Oh, I remember that.
Right on. We got your back.
We'll send you the money and the goods.
You're all going to die. But we got your back. As we kept pushing them into the front lines. That's 600,000 deaths now of Ukrainians since Boris Johnson flew to Kyiv to tell them to be brave.
Not a bad clip, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
I feel like I don't think we've played it before. I don't even know if I've seen it before.
Yeah, I've seen it once or twice, but yeah, that's a good one. He's making his rounds lately, too, somehow. I feel like he's the type of guy that's like, I got to get up and say something about this.
Yeah,
I won't be able to live with myself if I don't, like, You know what I mean? Like, really get out there. Because obviously he's been involved for a while, and it takes some guts to come out and give that whole timeline, right? I would say.
I mean, I get your shot.
Yeah.
Get shot for that kind of shit. All right, should we call the show then?
Sure, I'll save some stuff for Sunday. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, if people want to get that Sunday show, of course, they head over to GrandAmericaOutlaw.ca and sign up for Plus today. It's only $6 a month. And, you know, you'll get that Sunday show, the extension on all the interviews. While you're there, check out GrandAmerica.ca for all our other podcasts. You know, we're closing in on 700. We just released David Icke. People are loving that one. If they want to check that out, that's a Grand America show. Contact at the cabin for trips and events. Our Atlantis one is pretty well sold out, but you can get on the wait list for that if you want to come. And then there's also a Bonneville trip that's still got 9 or 10 spots left on it coming up in May. If you want to come hang out in Utah and Idaho with Randall Carlson and friends. And then adultbrain.ca for a bunch of audiobooks. Over 100 audiobooks are still there, and some ebooks and some print books. And we can publish your book if you got a book you want to publish. And then there's GrandAmericaCBD.com for all your CBD tinctures and gummies. And there's some THC gummies there as well. And then there's also GrandAmerica.ca/shrooms. We're also affiliated over there if you guys need that and get it. And then we make a buck or two. So all that great stuff supports the show. Helps us keep going, helps us keep growing and trying to keep out with content. We do have a new show premiering this Sunday night too. You guys might want to check out about Canada. So, you know, about the problems in Canada, kind of taking us from Confederation right up to today. That Graham did a great job narrating. So kind
of like a video, not a show necessarily, right? Like more like
a video. Yeah. It's a show. It's very much more like a show than like this in my mind. You know, it's like a show with an intro and an outro, and it's scripted, and it's, you know, it's like scripted content. Or this is very much unscripted content.
Very much.
It's our first crack at scripted content. That'll come out Sunday night on this channel. If you guys want to check that out, let us know what you think. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill. kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.